brothers and sisters, the philosophy preached by Buddha is unique. It is unique because Buddha found a solution to the suffering by the human being. And that solution lies in the human being and not outside. For 40 years he lived the life of a prince, about 30 years, and after that he left the palace and searched for the cause of dukkha. He realized that enjoyment of the 5-6 sense bases as an ordinary being would not divulge to him the true nature of this being. And he, having led the life of a prince in the palace up to about 30 years, left the palace on the day his son was born to him. He went to several great thinkers existing at the time, like Alara Kalama and Uddhakarama, from whom he learned the development of the mind, from one up to the 7th absorption and from the other to the 8th absorption. That was the maximum they could reach in their attainment, and they were so much taken up with Prince Siddhartha's attainment, they invited him to live with them and propagate their knowledge to the others. Buddha found that that was no answer to the question he searched for. Therefore he left them and pursued the other extreme of giving untold suffering to the body, which he thought would be a way to realize what this suffering is. For 6 years he suffered. He suffered so much that he was considered to be dead on certain occasions. After 6 years he found there too he could not find the answer to the question, the cause of suffering. Therefore he abandoned that way of life and followed the middle path. He consumed food sufficient to maintain himself and regained his health. On the Vesak night, he approached the sacred Bodh tree and, having sat under the Bodh tree, decided that he would not leave that place till such time he realized the truth. In fact, he took a firm decision that even if his bones and flesh and marrow, all that get destroyed, he would not get up from that seat till such time he finds the truth. By about midnight, he developed psychic powers. He developed the psychic eye. He also developed the ability to see through his vision the past lives he was born. This convinced him that he was following the right path, which will ultimately lead him to understand what suffering is. From there onwards, he concentrated fully on the analysis of this human being. Who is this being? That's the question he asked. He has the ability to perform functions with the six sense bases. And these are the only functions he can perform. And he went further to ask the question, is it he, the being that is in him, that performs the functions, or that the performance of the functions of the six sense bases are created by another force? When he probed deeper into this aspect of life, he realized that there is no such being as such who performs these functions except the thinking process creates thought to enable one to perform the activity of a sense base. Having realized this, he pursued further as to, is there any outside force that enables one to create that thought to perform the activity of the sense base? And he found that there was no such power or no such outside force, but it's a causally created activity. And when he pursued this further and further, it is developed intelligence. He ultimately realized that the so-called human being is nothing but the performance of the six sense bases, production of sankhara or rational activity, and a volitional activity, and that there is no person as such who performs this activity except that they are causally created. Then he dwelt on this aspect of the performance of the six sense bases further. And ultimately realized that the so-called human being, the worldling, lives in a deception of a creation of a being in him. There is no person as such responsible for the activity except that they perform the six sense bases of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting and thinking are causally created. And ultimately he realized the truth of suffering in that there is suffering, but there is no sufferer. This suffering is causally created, but an illusion that is created by the consciousness in the way of creating a being misleads the being to come to that conclusion that he is the author of the activity of the six sense bases. The probing into this aspect further led him to see, realize, and the consciousness itself is creating a deception in the being. And that deception is in assisting to create a thought to perform the activity of the sense base. The very same mental factors that create the thought also create the delusion in the mind of the person who creates that thought that there is a being in him. And the qualities responsible for this activity are the five grasping groups. Five grasping groups are the very mental factors that helps to create the thought. When the individual is misled that he is seeing something or hearing something or experiencing a smell or experiencing a taste or contacting something or thinking something, in that very thought itself, this misconception is created, this delusion is created, that there is this being. And for the creation of this delusion, the very same mental factor that helped one to create the thought has created this misconception. And they are the five grasping groups of form, grasping group of feeling, grasping group of perception, grasping group of volitional activity and consciousness. The five mental factors that causally creates the thought are contact, feeling, perception, volition and attention. These very same mental factors create that delusion in the being. He probed very deep into the aspect of the creation of the concept of the being.
Okay. Right. Right.
Venerable bhikkhus, brothers and sisters, the subject of the discourse today is the philosophy taught by Buddha for the liberation of the human being is unique. He did not in any way made us feel that the path that he has shown for the liberation of the being is something that he has been blessed with, or some outside force has dawned into him that path. The very life he led as a prince and subsequently as a bhikkhu, in the sense searcher of the truth, and after the realization as Buddha, he always appeared before the world as a normal being. He did not indicate that this truth has been revealed to him by any power, any force outside him. He on his own made a great effort. He went before several masters, great thinkers existing at the time, discussed the development of the mind with them, gathered whatever he could from them, and also put into practice certain systems that existed during that time in order to find out whether such systems would reveal him the truth. Of course, he led life of a prince and enjoyed the comforts of life. He got married and a child was born by him, Prince Rahula. Then of course he gave up that life, and as a searcher of the truth, walked out of the palace to try for himself to understand the problems of life. There was a practice at the time that giving penance to the body or suffering to the body would lead one to the realization of the truth. He tried that for 6 years. He tried that so much that many people thought that he was dead on certain occasions, resulting from severe hunger he went through. And having tried for 6 years that system too, he found that there is no answer to his question. Then he gave up that attempt and led a normal life for some time. Having regained his health, he he thought he would find the solution to this problem through him, himself. In other words, you thought to this carefully, and having seated himself near the Bodh tree and Buddha Gaya, he developed his mind to the eighth absorption level. He realized and attained the psychic power of seeing things at a distance. He also acquired the psychic power to reflect onto his past births. These two convinced him immensely that he is on the path. Then what he did was, he analyzed this human being carefully. This human being could perform six functions. And they are seeing with his eye, hearing with his ear, smelling with his nose, tasting or experience taste through the tongue, contacting through the body, and think. These are the six things this human being could do. The world accepted that there was a being within this person who performed these activities. That is the aspect he probed into in analyzing the functions of the sense bases. And in this careful analysis, how these six sense bases perform their acts in receiving sense objects from outside and experiencing these objects, he found that it is the creation of a thought that enables one to perform these functions. That thought is created by the mental energy. He also realized that this body, a composition of elements, cannot by itself perform any activity. That all performance by the body are directed by the mind. Then he analyzed carefully the six performance by the six sense bases and realized that it is the creation of a thought that enables a sense base to experience an object. And Buddha, with his wisdom, pursued it further and found that the mental energy in contact with an object through a sense base performs the activity of the sense base by the creation of a thought with the use of the five common mental factors. They are contact, feeling, perception, volition, and attention. When he analyzed that further, in order to find out whether there is actually a person as such who performs that activity, he found that such a belief is given to a person who experiences a sense-based activity that there is an author within him who does it, as a result of a delusion created by the consciousness. And in the creation of this delusion, he found the very same mental factors that helped perform the activity of the sense-based in the creation of thought perform the dual task of creating this illusion. Then, in analyzing deeply into the activity of this so-called function with the six sense bases, he found that every individual creates a world. This world is nothing but the composition of the experience of the six sense bases. Now that he has realized that each of these functional six sense bases are performed by the creation of a thought, he realized it is this very consciousness that creates this so-called world. It's not a person as such within the person who experiences these. The consciousness itself creates this situation. And through his wisdom he realized that the five grasping groups are responsible for this activity. Five grasping groups which are the mental factors which help one to create the thought, create the delusion of a being, and made one to feel it is that being that sees, hears, smells, tastes, contacts and thinks. He then analyzed the world that is created by this being and realized that they are nothing but experiences he has gained through the six sense bases. Six sense bases which receive objects through the bases itself, and then the thought created in the being perform the act of these sense bases. It's causally created, he realized. The so-called world that we are living in is nothing but a composition of experience through the six sense bases, which are causally created. But the ordinary worlding, he believes that there is so-called being that is living in this world, and that is himself. One would ask the question whether all that one experiences through the six sense bases are true. Buddha, having realized the true nature of things in the way of that all component things are impermanent, unsatisfactory, and do not continue to exist, he realized that the performance by the consciousness in creating a world around one through experiences gained by the six sense bases is completely delusion. The worldling believes in this delusion. One would ask the question, if it is a delusion, is there a world? There is no world as such. His further analysis of this subject revealed to him that each one of us, according to our capacity and capability, creates the world around us. The world I live in is different to the world any other lives in. But all that world which we have created around us is a delusion created by the mind, the consciousness. And ultimately realize that this so-called worldling is not a being as such. It's causally created mass of activities. But the worldling who believes, who doesn't have that amount of understanding and realization, who picks things on the surface through the six sense bases, because of his inability to probe into any of these activities in depth, he accepts what is on the surface and that is that there is a being in him. Then Buddha, having realized that there is no being, but the suffering that a human being goes through is causally created, he went further to find out the cause for this causal creation. And the cause lies again in the six sense bases. The performance, the sense base, is the creation of a thought. And that creation of a thought is a spontaneous activity of the mind. When the eye catches an object, and the reflection of that object is cast in the retina, the consciousness appears in the scene, and the three of them are put together by the mental factor contact. After that, the entire process that takes place in regard to your seeing is a mental process. You see, but this consciousness which Buddha classifies as a conjurer who is capable of creating situations which do not exist, capable of creating deceptions, in the process of creation of a thought to enable one to see, he has also created the deception, this consciousness, that there is a being who sees. And as I revealed to you earlier, that this so-called being created by the consciousness is again a product of the five common mental factors. It's a delusion created by the mental factors. I have in earlier discourses given you examples of how this creation is done. But in this instance, we are not going to go deep into that aspect of the subject. We are trying to find out the uniqueness in the philosophy preached by Buddha. In the analysis of the creation of six sense bases and their functions, he realized that there is no being as such who sees, who smells, who contacts, who tastes, who smells and who thinks. That such activity is done as a cause and effect. The consciousness is responsible for such activity. Now that he has acquired the ability to reflect into past lives, the question that arose him may be that how did this being, the so-called being after his existence on this earth for a period, passes away at his death, and what happens to that consciousness? What happens to that being after death? He saw the past lives as a result of the psychic power he developed. There is the birth taking place. Again, though there is complete death of the body, which is a composition of the elements, there is a continuity of the consciousness from one world to another. Buddha analyzed this carefully and ultimately found that the cause for this continuity of the consciousness is the desire that one has created. desire created as a result of experiencing through the eye, hearing through the ear, experiencing smell, experiencing contact through the body, and thinking. These six performances that promote the desire. He may have probed into the aspect whether the desire has been introduced by some outside force into this so-called being. And he realized that there is no such activity that has occurred. Because once the Buddha was questioned by a certain Brahmin as to how this desire started in a human being, or he said, from the day the human being was equipped with the six sense bases, and he created an attachment to the sense experiences gained through the six sense bases, he created the desire. And the subsequent activities in the way of promoting desire by the human being created a very firm habit in the human being. Bear in mind, brothers and sisters, that the spontaneous activity of the consciousness does not create desire. Spontaneous activity of the consciousness only enables the performance of the activity of a sense base. You see, that's all. You hear, you smell, you contact, you think. There is no desire in such activity. The best example I could quote in support of this conclusion is the advice given by Buddha to Bhaiya. When Bhaiya met him on the road and requested him to preach a brief discourse to him, Buddha said, "Bhaiya, see with your eyes and no more. Hear with your ears and no more. Likewise, in regard to other sense bases, don't pursue the experiences further." And Bhaiya te nibbana. There are other instances where Buddha has clearly indicated that the spontaneous activity of the sense base does not create desire. What happens to the individual, the worldling, is that once he experiences something through the sense base, he goes on thinking about it. If it is something present which he has experienced, he would create present sensations and then enjoy it and create an attachment to it. If that experience was something not to his taste, then he creates an aversion to it. And these are the two extremes that promote the desire. These are the two extremes that feed the desire. These are the two extremes that maintains the desire, brothers and sisters. And what are these activities, extra activities we have got used to perform to create unnecessary thoughts about an experience gained through a sense base? After all, the thought is created for you to see, hear, smell, taste, contact and think, that's all. But there is no necessity for you to dwell on that subsequently and go on thinking about it and developing on that. Such development will ultimately lead to the creation of an attachment to the object or creation of aversion to the object. Buddha realized that this is the cause of desire. It is something where the human being has got used to. It is not a defilement that has been introduced by some outside force. And it is this desire that creates the suffering in the human being. Desire leads to a birth after death. Because becoming is the objective.
of yourself, and the continuity of that life further and further and further. So after death, when you are about to die, your great anxiety that is in yourself is to be born again. You begin to realize that you are dying. And next desire that arises in you is to be born again, to become one, become lead to the rebirth. And the birth that leads to the suffering. Therefore, desire is a cause for your suffering, because desire creates a rebirth. The question that has to be asked is, therefore the suffering we undergo now, is it a forceful introduction into us by some outside force, or creation by us in ourselves? It's a creation by us in ourselves. That is why Buddha's philosophy is unique. He did not find an outside cause for any of our defilements. He did not say we would displease so and so, therefore there is this suffering for you. He said your own activities, foolishly committed, with false conclusions, false beliefs, false misconceptions created by you yourself, has led to this suffering. And this doctrine which he preached is unique, because it only shows you a path to undo what you have done to yourself. You have done this to yourself. That is why you are suffering. That is why you are being born over and over again in this cycle of birth. But if you realize the true nature of things, as indicated by Buddha rationally, then we have the capacity in us, brothers and sisters, to end this suffering by getting rid of rebirth. How? By getting rid of desire. If you probe further into desire, you find that desire is a feeling you get. It arises and passes away. How does it remain in you? You go on pursuing this activity of the creation of feeling of desire in you over and over again. Through your eye, through your ear, through your nose, through your tongue, through your body, and through your mind. From the time you get up in the morning, up to the time you go to sleep again, one series of activity committed by you, gaining experience through the six sense bases and creating desire. This activity has taken root so much into you that there is no effort on your part to create desire. It automatically is created. You don't know that it has happened to you. You see something beautiful, that a thought arose and passed away. But to pursue that without your awareness sometimes, and think of that beautiful thing you saw, and think of the attractive nature of certain aspects of that beautiful thing, and get attracted to that, that's desire. If it is something not your liking, again you think of it and create a certain aversion to it, that's again promoting desire. Because one would ask the question, why did Buddha lay so much of emphasis on mindfulness? In the Eightfold Path, mindfulness plays a very vital role. Mindfulness plays a very vital role in the four foundations of mindfulness, which is the path directed by Buddha, one to follow to get rid of desire. Why is mindfulness given such prominence in this doctrine? Because it is your forgetfulness that you create feeling to promote desire. Feelings to promote, to feed desire, to maintain desire, your forgetfulness. not be mindful of what you are thinking, what you are doing. You have, so to say, become a machine now, performing the same task of feeding the desire right through, without a check at all, and not being aware that you are doing so. The result is desire is powerful in you. That is why Buddha says, be mindful, be mindful, be mindful, mindful of everything you do. What is being mindful? Mindful is that you are aware of the true reality of life. That what you see is subject to suffering. And what you experience through the six sense bases bears no value at all. But they rise and pass away. That's the realistic aspect of all these objects. If that aspect or if that truth is well planted in you, brothers and sisters, then you have no fear at all, because when you see something, you realistically understand the true nature of that object, that is of unsatisfactory. Nothing substantial in that. Does not continue to exist. No soul as such. That is the realistic thought that arises in your mind immediately after you see something. And what creates that frame of mind in you, in yourself, it is the mindfulness. It's quite simple, brothers and sisters, if you are used to a habit. The only way to check that habit is to be careful about what you are doing. You are not allowing the habit to perform the task of repeating the performance over and over again. You are checking it by mindfulness. And that is what Buddha said. Defilements have been created by you in the mind. And those are not creations by outside forces. They are creations by yourself. And those defilements are completely misleading, leading you along the path to be born over and over again and to go through this life of suffering. It is the desire. And Buddha realistically found out that desire is the cause of our suffering. As I told you, suffering is the result of a birth. And the desire is the cause of a birth, rebirth. Therefore, you are born over and over again as a result of your maintaining desire. And why do you maintain desire? Because you are not mindful. Mindful of what? Of the realistic aspect of life. You've just been misled. You live on the surface. That's the unmindful nature of the being. Therefore, the simple solution given by Buddha to this is be mindful. And he said, be mindful of four things that lead to the creation of desire. And the four things are, be mindful of the performance, the activities of your body and that of the body of another. Be mindful of all feelings that you experience through your six sense bases. Be mindful of the creation of thoughts. And be mindful in the development of Dhamma in you. It's a simple process that he has given us. A very, very simple approach to the solution of this problem of creation of desire. Now that you are so much used to this pattern of existence of creation,